Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. If you want to assess the significance of the swine flu outbreaks around the world, take a look at a map. We've got 50 cases in the United States, many, many more in Mexico. Mexico is the epicenter, but it's broadened out from there, and there are cases as widely diverse and scattered as New Zealand and Israel. The last few days have been a jumble of numbers and facts about swine flu. We've tried to keep them in line. Joining us once again is Dr. Richard Wenzel, who's the Virginia Commonwealth University Chairman of the Department of Internal Medicine and an expert on infectious disease. He joins us from Richmond. Dr. Wenzel, first of all, if you look at a map, what's the most important thing to pay attention to, the number of fatalities in any particular place or the speed and direction whereby this virus seems to be moving?
I think two issues. One is we're at least in four continents in terms of how far the virus has spread. And secondly, I think the real key is what's going on in Mexico. Why are people dying there when it looks mild elsewhere? And I think what's really going to be important is to know, what's the cause of death there? Is it the virus? Is it some secondary bacterial pneumonia?
Now, is this a problem with information coming out of Mexico, that possibly there are some bottlenecks in getting this information? Or is there something unique about the specific setting for where these fatalities occurred?
Well, maybe both. As I look at it from a distance, I mean, we have the same virus attacking the same age group in both the United States and Mexico. And the difference is outcome is severe in Mexico. So it's got to be the patients. And then, do they have some unusual susceptibility? We're partially protected. I doubt it. Is it more likely that there's some secondary bacterial pneumonia? That's a possibility. And the last might be, you know, Mexico City has horrible pollution. We know that. And pollution has been related to worse outcomes in other countries like England and Ireland and Scotland.
Now, one of the restraints on avian flu, apparently, in preventing it from being transmitted was that really people needed to be in contact with infected birds. And really, you know, it involved them actually being in the slaughterhouses in some cases. Is it possible that these fatalities in Mexico relate to some proximity to pigs that might increase the viral load and increase their susceptibility to death that wouldn't be the case, say, in, you know, New York?
I think it's unlikely because most of the people in the center of Mexico City, a huge urban metropolis with 20 million people, aren't living with pigs. Outside, I would say that's more likely. This is person-to-person spread of a pig virus that has elements of human and avian genes with it. So it's really not so much pig to man anymore.
Now, the Centers for Disease Control, echoing some of your sort of head-scratching, spoke yesterday on this issue of the difference between the spectrum in Mexico and here in the United States. Listen to what Dr. Richard Besser was saying, and then I want to get your response here.
Sure. That is a critical question. What we need to understand is why we're seeing a different disease spectrum in Mexico than we're seeing here. I wouldn't be overly reassured by that. There are many reasons that could explain that, And as we gather information, we hope to sort that out. I wouldn't rest on the fact that we have only seen cases in this country that are less severe. As we continue to look, I expect that we will see additional cases. And I expect that the spectrum of disease will expand.
Dr. Wenzel, I mean, if that doesn't occur, if there aren't fatalities elsewhere, is it more of a mystery than actually getting to the bottom of how to treat this particular virus if it does spread and the fatalities do spread?
Well, if it turns out that all the disease is mild in the United States and, in fact, in New Zealand or Canada and in Europe, then we've got to focus on what's different about Mexico. Then it would say that there's something unusual there. It's either they, for some reason, they have secondary bacterial pneumonias at a huge rate, and that's always a difficult problem. Or maybe the damage to the airways locally there. I think the acting head of CDC was being cautious, but as the numbers expand and we continue to see mild cases, Then we have to turn the focus back to what's different about the patients in Mexico.
Before we let you go, I want to ask you one question about the incubation of this virus. Do we know what the incubation time is, and how does that inform people like myself in figuring out what preventive measures to take should we think we possibly come in contact?
Well, usually with flu, it's 2 or 3 days, but up to a week. So beyond a week, you're safe after exposure to a particular person who's infected. So that's why President Obama is safe from his trip to Mexico. It's well over a week.
Oh, that's interesting. Dr. Richard Wenzel, thanks for joining us, Virginia Commonwealth University Chairman of the Department of Internal Medicine, who's been helping us to understand what's going on in these outbreaks around the world. Thanks so much, Doctor.
Thank you so much.